It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters and lore. East Coast Esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Days of Halloween.
On October 20th, 1882, a legend was born. One of the world's most gifted performers came into this world, and we owe so much to him that I decided to dedicate just a small part of my 31 Days of Halloween special to him. In his heyday, Bela Lugosi was hailed as the undisputed king of horror. 85 years after he first donned a vampire's cape, Lugosi's take on Count Dracula is still widely hailed as the definitive portrayal of the legendary fiend. But who was the man behind the monster? To the chagrin of his biographers, the details concerning Bela Lugosi's youth have been clouded in mysteries. That said, we know that he was born as Bela Franca Dezezo Blasco on October 20th, 1882, in Hungary. We also know that his professional stage debut, you know, it kind of came at some point in either 1901 to 1902. By 1903, Lugosi had begun to find steady work with traveling theater companies, though, through which he took part in operas, operettas, and stage plays. In 1913, Lugosi caught a major break when the most prestigious performing arts venue in the native country, the Budapest-based National Theater of Hungary, cast him in no less than 34 shows. Most of the characters that he played there were small Shakespearean roles, such as Rosencrantz and Hamlet and Sir Walter Herbert and Richard III. The so-called war to end all wars put Lugosi's dramatic aspirations on hold, though he did serve his country. Although being a member of the National Theater exempted him from military service, he voluntarily enlisted in the Austro-Hungarian Army back in 1914. Over the next year and a half, he fought against Russian forces as a lieutenant with the 43rd Royal Hungarian Infantry. While serving in the Carpathian Mountains, Lugosi was wounded on three separate occasions. Upon healing from his injuries, he left the armed forces in 1916 and gratefully resumed his work with the National Theater. In December 1920, Lugosi boarded a cargo boat and immigrated to the United States. 2 years later, audiences of the Great White Way got their first look at this charismatic stage veteran. Lugosi was cast as Fernando, a suave Latin lover, in the 1922 Broadway stage play, The Red Poppy. At the time, his grasp of the English language was practically non-existent. Undaunted, Lugosi went over all his lines with a tutor to get them through his head. Although he couldn't comprehend their meaning, the actor managed to memorize and phonetically reproduce every single syllable that he was supposed to deliver on stage. An absolute visionary to be able to do that. The year 1927 saw Bela Lugosi sink his teeth into the role of a lifetime, one that would literally change the face of horror for years to come. A play based on the novel Dracula by Bram Stoker had opened in London in 1924. Sensing the potential, Horace Livewright, an American producer, decided to create a U.S. version of the show. Over the summer of 1927, Lugosi was cast as the blood-sucking Count Dracula. For him, the part represented a real challenge. In Lugosi's own words, it was a complete change from the usual romantic characters I was playing, but it was a success. Certainly was. Enhanced by his presence, the American Dracula remained on Broadway for a full year, then spent 2 years touring the country. That was unheard of back then. Impressed by its box office prowess, Universal decided to adapt the show into a major motion picture in 1930, and the rest, my friends, is horror fan history. Horror fans might be surprised to learn that when the studio began to process a casting this movie's vampire villain, Lugosi was not their first choice. At the time, Lugosi was still a relative unknown, which made the director, Todd Browning, more than a little hesitant to offer him a job. A number of established actors who were well considered before the man who played Dracula on Broadway was trapped and tapped to immortalize his biting performance on film. the recent Twilight phenomenon, not without historical precedent. Lugosi estimated that while he was playing The Count on Broadway, more than 97% of the fan letters he received were penned by female admirers. A 1932 Universal Press book quotes him as saying, "When I was on stage as Dracula, my audience was composed almost completely of women." Moreover, Lugosi contended that most of the men who'd attended a show had merely been dragged there by female companions. Ever the heartbreaker before he sucked the blood out of him. Released in 1931, Dracula quickly became the world's biggest hit for Universal. Furthermore, its astronomical success transformed Lugosi into a household name for the first time in his career. Regrettably for him, though, he'd soon miss the chance to star in another smash. Pleased by Dracula's box office showing, Universal greenlit a new cinematic adaptation of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Lugosi seemed like the natural choice to play the monster, but, you know, because the poor brute had few lines and would be caked in layers of thick makeup, the actor rejected the job offer. As far as Lugosi was concerned, the character was better suited for some half-wit extra than a serious actor like him. Starting to see the real Mr. Lugosi coming out yet? You ain't seen nothing yet. Once the superstar tossed Frankenstein aside, the part was given to little-known actor named Boris Karloff. And once again, history was made. Moviegoers eventually did get to see Lugosi play the bolt-neck corpse in 1943, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman. According to some sources, he strongly detested the guttural scream that the script forced him to emit at regular intervals. "That yell is the worst thing about the part. You feel like a big jerk every time you do it," Lugosi allegedly complained. It's often reported that the two horror icons, Karloff and Lugosi, were embittered rivals. In reality, Karloff and Lugosi seem to have harbored some mutual respect, and perhaps even affection for one another. The dynamic duo co-starred in 5 films together, the first of which was 1934's The Black Cat. Karloff claimed that on set Lugosi was suspicious of tricks, fearful of what he regarded as scene stealing. Later on, when he realized I didn't go in for such nonsense, we actually became friends. During one of their later collaborations, Lugosi told the press, "We laughed over my sad mistake and his good fortune as Frankenstein is concerned." What a great guy. In 1935, Lugosi was named honorary president of the Los Angeles Soccer League. An avid fan, he was regularly seen at Loyola Stadium, where he occasionally kick off the first ball during games he held there. Also, on top of donating funds to certain Hungarian teams, Lugosi helped finance the Los Angeles Magyar Soccer Club. When the team won the state championship in 35, one newspaper wrote that the players were headed back to Dracula's castle with the state cup. What an interesting, interesting man. One thing that I'll leave you guys with about Bela Lugosi that I thought was just so suitable for him was he was actually buried in his Dracula cape when he did pass away. Although Lugosi resented the years of typecasting that followed his breakout performance in Dracula, he asked to be laid to rest wearing the Count's signature garment. Lugosi was buried under a simple tombstone at California's Holy Cross Cemetery. He hasn't risen from the dead since. And I hope you guys have risen your spirit, so to speak, listening to this bonus content for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, 31 Days of Halloween. Don't forget to subscribe or follow and like. And maybe you can put in what your favorite Bela Lugosi movie was down in the comments below. See you tomorrow, guys.